Our first reading for the celebration of the Reformation of the Church is found in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and we begin reading at verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. We hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the eighth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, and in particular, these words. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, are justified by his grace as a gift to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is our text. If you could only use one word to summarize what the reformation of the church was all about, I'm pretty sure at least most scholars would agree that that one word would be justification. But that's a five-syllable word. Can we make it a little simpler? Yeah. In essence, the question was, how do we become good? Is it something we do that makes us good? Or is it something that God does that makes us good? It was about a question of identity and how someone discovers and receives their identity. And that's still a tremendous issue today. In fact, probably even more of an issue in our culture for today, because no one seems to really know who they are anymore. Are you a boy or a girl? And what determines that? Is it something you choose, or is it something that is given you? Well, increasingly, our world today thinks it's something you choose, and you can see all kinds of evidence for that. But it doesn't stop there. After my services last night, somebody made me aware of a new one I hadn't heard of yet. Maybe you have. How many of you know about furries? Oh, my goodness, you know about this. I didn't know about it. But for those of you unacquainted, in several high schools, maybe more, around the United States, including one here in Iowa, I learned just last night, there are students who think they are cats. Don't laugh. I mean it. They come to school with ears and tails. And in one school district, you know, we've heard about bathroom issues. They want kitty litter. And this is taking up time in school boards. There was just an executive order by the President of the United States. If schools receive federal funds, and a boy thinks he's a girl and wants to participate in girls' sports, if you want federal funding, you have to allow it. This isn't far away stuff anymore. This is affecting what your children or grandchildren are experiencing in school. And even we may laugh about it, we may think this is crazy, but in reality, the issue of identity has been plaguing mankind since the fall of Adam. God created the man and woman, and he was God. But they got confused. They thought that they themselves could be God. They thought they could choose their identity. No, you can't choose your identity. You are what God has made you. Your identity is a gift. But even we come to church regularly, believe that all the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah, we get confused about our own identities too. Go take a survey of 1,000 people. and ask them the question, are you loved? I wonder in our world today, if you question 1,000 people, how many people would say, I'm not sure. Oh, you are. Indisputably. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You are immeasurably loved. A lot of people in our world today aren't sure of that. They wonder sometimes, and you see this in all kinds of relationships, what can I do to make myself more lovable to you? As if love is dependent upon what I do. No, it's not. If you're not loved, it's not because of who you are. It's because someone else does not have love within them. As Christians, we are taught to love even our enemies. How do you do that? Because love is a gift. It's not something you earn by what you do. Am I important? Is my life valuable? Ask 1,000 people. You probably get a lot of people who will say, maybe even no, or at least, I'm not sure. And I run into people who feel like that, even when they've been long-time church members. They think their life doesn't matter. Well, that's a lie. Go ask God, does your life matter? Are you valued? And as Jesus once did, he said, well, see those birds? I know we don't have them flying around here now, but not one of them falls to the ground without your Heavenly Father knowing it. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. You are more valuable than they. So says the Word of God. You think you're not important? You think your life doesn't matter? How can you think that? Because you think it depends upon what you do. You think it's a choice you make. If I can do this, then I'm important. If I can do that, then I'm important. No. Your value depends upon what God has made you. To be justified. To be good, to be righteous, to be innocent. How do we get that way? Is it by what we do, or is it a gift? That's always been the issue before mankind. What is my identity as a human being? Is it what I choose, or is it a gift from God? A number of years, I can't remember if I was in junior high or in high school ago, I learned something about the meaning of justification by a horrible crime that was committed in our community. Man, I don't remember how old he was, kidnapped a young girl, killed her. They had some small circumstantial evidence that he did it. But if you will, they couldn't prove it by a reasonable doubt. Nevertheless, he was arrested. It was just before Christmas. Now imagine you as parents having your young daughter missing.
just before Christmas.
When the man was arrested and being taken to jail, one of the officers who arrested him began pleading with him, laying out the scenario. It's Christmas. We're pretty sure you did it. Give this family some peace. Let them just know what has happened to their daughter. He confessed. And he brought them to where the body had been placed. Guess what the officer didn't do before he started pleading with the man? I'll bet you all know. You've heard it happen time and again. He didn't read him his Miranda rights. And when the trial came, it didn't last very long. The evidence they had to convict the man was his ill-gotten confession. So the judge slammed the gavel down and said, not guilty. Let me read you the words of my text again now in that context. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be justified? Or in simpler terms, how do you become good? Not by what you do. As Isaiah said, all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. We are what we are, including being good, including being justified. Not because we have chosen to be that, but because God, by grace, through the atoning work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has made us and declared us to be what we are. Justified. Righteous in his sight. Who are we? That is an ongoing question in our culture. The answers people are coming up with today are crazy. They always have been, haven't they? We're always trying to become something. I wish I was more this. I wish I was more that. We've all done it. But the Reformation was about, and the coming of Jesus Christ into this world was about, teaching the world the truth of God. We are what we are, not by our choice, by God's gift. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.